Very good morning to you all.
Blessing in this day has found us still in the service of the Lord. When we just raised our hands a while ago, how many could think, I am so wondrously safe from sin? I was sure glad. It looked like 100% everywhere, every hand that I could notice was up in the air. I am so wondrously safe from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. I'm so happy for that today for you. And now, I believe this sister here on the stretcher is just a little bit in the sun. If she won't be moved over, maybe what's bothering her. And I noticed her hand also up. So wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. Oh, isn't that marvelous? When Jesus of Nazareth can come into our hearts and bless us and make us what we ought to be. Used to be a little song we used to sing years ago. He makes me what I ought to be. His grace can cleanse and set me free, something like that. How marvelous it is. Now, just before we start into teach the Sunday school, it's my lot this morning to come and teach Sunday school. And it made me feel good to come in the back door and see him putting the birthday offerings up there. That reminded me a long time ago when Tabernacle was first being in its prayer days. And just like old times, to hear the pastor blessing the people for the coming years of their life and to give them thanks for what God has graciously done for them. Now, I think I owe to this tabernacle the reason why, and to be the first place that I make this announcement. But anywhere yet is typed out and ready for mail. But I think that I would want to quote it being the New Year's, not that it's New Year's, but it's the new turn of time. I believe we're living in a very wonderful, glorious day of opportunity when people at this day living to see the shadows of the coming of the Son of God. I believe with all my heart that the world is going to burst out into the greatest revival that was ever known, or is going into the darkest chaos that's ever been known in history. It's a great time of people to make a decision on what they're going to do. If there happens to be someone here today who hasn't made the decision right for Christ, I trust that it will be this morning, somewhere in the service, that you'll, in your heart, say, yes, Lord, this is the day when I make my decision to serve you the rest of my life.
Amen.
It's a wonderful day. I'm sure that over our eyes has been just a veil, even believers, who we can't see just what's going on around us, you see. And many times, spiritual-led people are misunderstood, and they don't, to the peoples of the world, because it's such a strange and an odd life to live a full, surrendered life to the Lord Jesus. Now, a few weeks ago, I promised the Lord 8 or 10 years ago when I left in 1946 and left the tabernacle that I would serve him with all my heart in these campaigns, knowing that it was going to be a great disturbance out there because and a lot of money included and everything like that. For I knew that usually in reading that man who gets the Lord bless him just a little bit. There's about 3 major things that usually brings the minister to back to the rut. And I noticed, man, one of them is money, women, popularity. And those 3 things I noticed in the scriptures that were, if money was a prophet Balaam who sold out his gifts to go on account of money when Balak offered so much money. Many of you claim that the story. The Samson, it was Delilah, the woman who wooed him in her lap until he gave away the secrets of the Lord to her. And Saul, it was popularity. He was a prophet. The Bible said he was numbered with the prophets. And through popularity, he wanted to be big and above someone else, he fell by this. And this is the three major causes that I see in the Bible that caused man to fall, and I ask our Heavenly Father to please let me shun at all times those things, especially those three major things, and kept a covering over them. I made a promise to God that I would never beg for money in the meetings, and I made a covenant with him if he ever got to a place where he didn't supply my needs in the meeting, just for passing the collection plate, which I knew it would take tens of thousands of dollars to do in great massive meetings. And then I told him that I would leave and come home off of the field. This he miraculously did without making one stress at any time for money or press. Three or four managers lost their jobs because of making a little press for money, which I would not permit. I don't believe in it. The people around the city here might think, well, the Lord gave us a little home up there that was taken up in one night. That someone thinks, well, he's a multi-millionaire. I wish you only knew the truth. See, you're no different from that. That I could have been, that's right. But I not even beg if it just people come to me, I'll give you this, Brother Brad, but I refused it. I don't want it. I want nothing to do with it. It's filth. I want my inheritance to be above up here. And that's knowing this, that day by day the gray hairs is coming into my head, and I'm not the little boy that I was that started preaching here 23 years ago. And I know one thing, that no matter how much you got of this, what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and then lose his soul?
Amen.
Well, I've seen that cursed thing in the last few days, ministers and people calling at different family disasters and things. A lady called me the other night. She said, I won't tell you my name. My husband is one of well-known healing evangelists on the field, and said, caught him right in the act of living in adultery with an 18-year-old girl. He confessed to me that he'd been doing it for 2 years. Said, what shall I do, Brother Branham? And I said, well, hey, I don't know. I said, I'll pray for my brother. His soul. And such as that, we tried to shun. And he miraculously met me and helped me until about the last couple of meetings. In my last meeting in California alone, in the last two meetings, I went $16,000 in debt. They said, you have to beg. You have to tell the people they want to be begged. I said, that's not my promise to God. The man said, I'll underwrite it. I said, that isn't my promise to God. But to keep my promise, as I would to my fellow man, I did to God. And I didn't want to tell my wife and boy on the road home from California. I stopped in the evangelistic services. I said, I'll go back, rest up a few days, and see what the Lord Jesus says, and nothing else. I'll come down and help Brother Neville pastor the tabernacle. I said, I'll do something, preach the gospel, and go to work like I used to do, patrol on the lines in public service company or something, and yeah, preach on him have Sundays, morning or Sunday night, and I'll take the other service, and he'll have Wednesday, and I'll have Tuesday, or something like that. Or I said, we'll go right ahead with the services, and I said, I'll get me a job and go to work. I did. I got my job, Brother Wood, back there moving out. So I just went to work. Got my job. It hurt my wife and Billy. They said, Billy said, Dad, I'm sure you're doing wrong. I said, no, I'm doing right. I keep my promise. I told him, I said, my promise, no matter what it is, if the man is not as good as his word, I don't want to, you can't trust him because he's not so good. And so that's one thing, and it's a person that's always be that promise. These tell things so that as you can go back and tell it a million times, it'll be the same thing, you see? Just be honest. No matter if it's bad or whether it's good, be honest. And if it's against you, say it anyhow, or keep still, don't say it at all, see? And I feel that way, that God will bless an honest heart, and knowing the position that I stand in to defeat sickness and stuff for people in prayer to the Lord Jesus, according to His divine word and his calling, then I must be honest in heart to do that. Because the devil knows whether you are or not. You won't pay him attention. I don't care how loud you holler or how much you make up, he won't pay attention to you. Right. But God will if you're honest. So I said, I'll tell him when I get to Arizona after I left California. I didn't have the nerve. So after I said, well, in New Mexico, and all around, I told him, come right down here in Indiana. Well, they understood it pretty well. Billy didn't get it too well. He said, Daddy, I think you're making a mistake. But I went home, tired, weary, upset, crying, went to bed that night after the wife got sleepless, went in the room, knelt down, said, there's Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to do. Here I am right back where he was coming in. I guess I made a failure. About 2 hours, the man, he appeared to me. And he showed me a vision of such a panoramic view of people I never seen. I saw him through my wife in the vision. Now, you people that know me know I'm not a fanatic. I don't say these things unless they're the truth. That's right. And I see it. And I see Brother Argybite standing there. And I went up to him. He said, Brother Billy, said we get out all the prayer cards and everything's ready now for the meeting. We got a way to take in and out. I said, thank you, Brother Argybite. I walked over to some more brothers. And there's another brother preaching. I said, who is he? They said, they put him up. And I said, who is they? And they just turned around and walked away. And the man, they just dismissed the audience and let them all go. And I said, oh, he shouldn't do that because there's no altar call. Oh, he said, another call spoke up and said, we didn't took up the offering. I said, when is the offering more important than souls before Christ? Okay. And that, he ain't the Lord taking me out then. And he takes me to a real bright stream of water. It's the most beautiful blue water. And great fish were swimming around now. He said, I will make you a fisher. And he said, now, cast your lure into the water. And when you do, pull it slow. First time. Next time, just give a little jerk. Not too hard. And the next time, set your hook for the catch. And I started to throw my line in the water. I pulled everybody in to rejoicing and saying, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I got all excited and jerked it hard on the next one out. I pulled a fish and all out of the water. And what it was a little bitty fish, and it's just about the size of the lure. And I got my line all tangled up, and I straightened out the line, and the man which was talking behind me walked around in front of me, dressed in Palestinian clothes and a turban on his head, in his white robe. He said, Brother Branham, that's it. I said, I don't know if I didn't do right. I said, I jerked it where I oughtn't to. He said, don't get your line tangled up in these kind of times. And I said, well, I'm running as straight as I can. I'll be very careful. And he said, now the first time I spoke with you, you put your hands on the people and told them what was wrong. And the second pull, why, when you did, you would know the secrets of your heart. And I made you fear before the people. But you're always trying to explain it. You ought to have done that. But you made a public show of it. I said, I'm very sorry. And he's taken me from there, and I've seen a great, huge tent. I never seen such a tent. It was packed and lined everywhere with people. And I walked out to the, it looked like I was standing above the people looking down where I just made an altar call. And hundreds of people were weeping and rejoicing after they had accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Now I looked, and then I heard a man get up and say, call the prayer line. And people get a line up over on this side, the left from where I was looking down towards the platform, and the line all the way up and down the street for a prayer line. I noticed to my left, which would be to my right if I was on the platform, a little wooden building. And I've seen that light, that they have a picture of, you know, that's always in the meeting. I've seen that light leave me and go to that building, and go in that building, and a voice said to me, I'll meet you in there. That'll be the third pull. I said, why? He said, well, it won't be a public show like the other. And I came too. And now at the beginning of this new year, back to my tabernacle where I started from. Back to the beginning where I started. I am very grateful to God for these things. And many of you know that just before leaving on the other crusade of about 8 or 10 years, I think around 10 years, well, 9 years it has been, it was, these things were told exactly how the auditorium services, you remember, exactly how that Brother Lawson would live exactly 3 years and then be taken away, that Brother Ward would build a tabernacle down in this position, this direction here in all, just exactly, you know it, you old timer. It happened just that way, and so will this. For thus saith the Lord. And you know, and now is the belief that at the brink of the greatest meetings that I've ever held for the Lord Jesus, this land right in the future, beginning now. So, you know, I feel very happy this morning to come before you, and this is the first time the message has ever been given out. It's right here on this microphone to the Tabernacle people. And now it'll be in the papers, the religious papers, like Voice of Healing, Herald is coming, and all that in a few days. It's already typed and ready to go. Pray for me. And some glorious day when it's all over, we'll meet around this door and we'll have time in our hands. And remember, it's not just me out there in the service. I have such a little part to do with this. It's you back here also, see. And I just believe the little old tabernacle is going to spread out and it's just going to be marvelous. What the Lord will do. Bless the Lord. Now, straight to the Word. Before, let's just give a little word of thanks to the Lord Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful today for you who are down here in this modern age, in the age of automobile, airplane, jets, rockets, and all kinds of science, telephone, television, and modern atomic weapons and so forth, you are still the supreme, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God that created the heavens and earth and spanned out the sky. But we can't explain it. We can't explain it. Neither can we explain why the sky doesn't have an end, how the world can revolve around. And it's so perfect that 20 years before they can tell when the eclipse of the sun is coming, because your machinery works exact. We can't produce a piece of machinery to be that exact. Oh, but great Jehovah who holds this earth here in space is perfect. And we love you. And all your doings are just and right. And we submit ourselves to thee this morning, the beginning of this new year, and ask that you fill us all with the Holy Spirit, Lord, and draw us close to thee, and may thy everlasting arms be around us and hold us, Lord, for the days are shaking and dark, but the morning star is leading the way. We shall follow, Lord, where he leads, the honor will follow. If it be some through the water, some through the flood, some through deep trial, for all through the blood. Oh, God, lead us by thy everlasting hand until the victory is finally won and Jesus returns to the earth. Then sickness and sorrow will be ended and we'll live this glorious millennium with thee. We're longing for that great day. Come, Lord Jesus, to thy word today. Get into it. Circumcise the lips that speak from the heart of the ear. May the seed fall into the heart where the Holy Spirit will sow it and bring forth the hundredfold. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and help you as we settle down now for the teaching of the Word. Try not to teach it too long if I possibly can do on a Sunday school lesson because we have healing services to pray for the sick immediately after this. Now our Lord Jesus has been so graciously to us. Just talk with Brother Neville. I forgot, Brother Cox, I believe, was with us when we went to pray for a little mother up there in Charleston one time, dying in the bed, last hope, cancer eat her up. And God marvelously and miraculously healed that little woman. And her brother is a minister, little Junior Cash, and he's out preaching the gospel today and praying for the sick also. Just had a great revival up to Henryville, and Brother Neville was just telling me about how little Brother Junior was getting along. So glad for that. See, cast your bread upon the water, and it'll return to you someday. Sow the right seed, you'll reap the right crop. You sow the wrong seed, you'll reap the wrong thing. You can't go east and west at the same time. You're either going one way or the other. You're either pointing towards God this morning with all you've got literally, or you're pointing the other way. You think sometimes you're going right when you're going wrong, but you can't go to the right and to the left at the same time. You'll come out of your head left, you're going left, and you'll come out left. If you're headed right, you'll come out right, you can't keep from coming right.
Yeah.
It may seem like you're going wrong, but you're going right. Follow the compass, and the compass is the Holy Spirit. The magnetic pole of the north pulls that compass exactly north. Isn't it wonderful? That the electronics of the air, I was standing near the North Pole here a few years ago, and here is them northern lights of sweeping and the yellow and green flashes in a dark midnight to make as light as in this room to walk by. I thought, way down yonder in Central America, anywhere, that compass will point right straight to that magnetic pole.
Amen.
It'll guide you north every time. And how glorious that is that we got a magnetic system in glory.
Hallelujah.
Every man that has been made a compass to guide through this life of what towards Jesus Christ, just as certain as we're sitting in the church today. In His marvelous word now, the 19th chapter, the 10th chapter of Hebrews, and the 19th verse. I want you to listen close as we read. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. How wonderful. By a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say through His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and with full assurance of faith, having our conscience sprinkled from evil and our bodies washed with pure water. May the Lord Jesus just grace this answering to the word. You like the word? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. Now, just for the teaching service now, or perhaps the next 30 to 40 minutes, let's go right straight into the Word. Now, our faith cannot rest upon nothing. A Christian has to have his faith, has to have a solid resting place. You know that. And the only resting place that a Christian, a true born-again Christian, can rest his faith or hers is upon the unmovable Word of God. It isn't built upon the shifting sands of man's theology and doctrines and upon some church affiliation, but a true believer, his faith is rest solidly, unshifting as he approaches the Word of God. I was seeing somewhere, maybe here a few nights ago, I wanted to preach so bad, I preached to my wife in bed for 12 o'clock. Just telling her of how glorious Jesus was. A text come in my heart, it kept burning me so great, that I just couldn't rest with it. Now I just said, honey, I want to preach to you a little while. And she roused up. By grace, she listened. I said, the Christian faith is based solely upon rest. A Christian is not tossed about. A Christian doesn't run from place to place. A Christian doesn't fuss and fume and worry about things. A Christian rests.
Amen.
Long finish for the believer in Calvary. Right. Oh, sickness may come and disappointments, but the Christian's at rest. Knowing this, that God's able to keep that which He has performed. Knowing that no matter what the thing is and how it looks, there's either sickness, sorrow, death, there's either starvation or anything that can separate us from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're at rest. Let the old ship off any way she wants to, anchor home. I come by a harbor one time and seen that was flying in a plane, great, coming down along. There's a big old ship there, the sails have been let out, you know, oh, what a storm on the sea. My, she was salty. And I seen that old ship there rocking back and forth, and some ways it would go in, and some ways it would go under, and everything. I said, wonder why that is. A fellow said, he said, it's got a sea anchor on. Therefore, that the ship can't sink. That he can go through the waves. But he can't sink. They call this anchor.
Yeah.
That's called way we go under. But regardless, if the anchor holds, it isn't the ship doing the holding, it's the anchor doing the holding.
Amen.
It isn't what I am or what I will be or what I was. It's what He is now and what He did for us, me and you.
Amen.
It ain't what I can do, it's what He has done. My faith doesn't anchor in what the coming meetings will be. My faith doesn't rest in only any ability that I would have, or upon what church I should join, or what people I could associate with. My faith anchors and rests entirely upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Already been received. God justified Him by raising from the dead. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And God raised Him up from the dead for our justification. No wonder the poet said, living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sin far away, rising He justified freely forever, someday He's coming, oh glorious day. Hey, the Christian rests in that hope. Upon the stormy sea, there'll sure storms rise. All kinds of troubles, but we're anchored. That's all. It'll never sink. It can't sink. Now, I've noticed many Christians in my life to be up and down. I've wondered about that. And without preaching such a text as this out in the other churches to where I go, I thought best to deliver it to my people here at the tabernacle.
Amen.
I thought, wow, are people so tossed about? You find them, people who seem to be very religious, seem to have such a deep desire. And daily they search and hunt and seek for God and never come to any settlement of any kind to where they could ever be settled or anchored in Christ. And this I have learned to be is experience that it is people of intellectual. Now, speaking this, there is two different types of Christianity. It's strange, but I would not say two different types. I say two different phases would be a better word to use. Not two types, two phases, the same Christianity, but two phases of it. And one of them is an intellectual or a mental conception of what God has said in His Word and of Jesus Christ by the way of knowledge, and the other is an experimental experience that God has given the man in his heart. The one intellectually is a hunger. He's feasting on God, but his peace doesn't hold out. The other one seems to have victory all the time. There's nothing bothers them. They're just as solid and anchored as they can be. No trials, no storms bothers them at all. But they seem to have something about them that people who are Christians and trying to live for God admire that type of Christian. Now I've often wondered, Lord, what is it that these people have that others crave so much for and yet seem to fail to get it? I know that's a great question in all of our hearts to this third Christ. Now, I've never seen a person yet that ever once come to Him except they afterwards. Their life never seemed right to them anymore if they ever left Christ. I was speaking yesterday to a little colored man who told me of a minister walking back and tearing up his preaching papers and throwing them into the trash box and said, I'm through with it, and the following Sunday he's got a case of beer and set in the place and drank it. A couple of weeks after that, lay dying on the bed. By that time I'd explain then how that works in the Bible, but that'd be all for the text. But that's another subject. How does Satan come in and tempt the person God has taken his child home? That's all that happens. But now, to see this hunger for people, and yet not able to reach it. And many of our teachers and schools have brought in much theology of telling the people, well, it's because you didn't shout, because you didn't speak with tongues,
or because you didn't have these kind of gifts, which I have nothing in heart or to say against such things, but altogether you find these people, when they do shout or speak with tongues or some other emotion, they still don't seem to be the person that they should be. Now, we have to know that to be true. And I've often wondered myself just what could be done in that kind of a state of mind for the person. So finding it so simple in the Word of God, we have kind of to explain it in order now to do this and to see the intellectual part of the mind and the soul which is in the heart. Now you truly have two different mental faculties. You have one of them that's in your head by your brain, and the other is operated in your heart, which is called your soul. Your spirit and your soul. Now, they are very much in disagreement many times. When the head seems to say something, the soul wonders at it if it's not right. But when it comes into the soul, the head seems to set back. There's been things that happened to you that you knew was going to be, yet you could not explain why, and there's no reason you couldn't explain it out, but yet you just accepted it, and it happened just that way. That's when something happens down here. In the great meetings of the vast fields of the campaign, I've noticed many people coming to me and saying, oh, I have all faith, Brother Branham. And intellectually, they are right here. But in their heart, it isn't there. If it was, they wouldn't be on the platform to be prayed for, or help of faith, if they had faith. Now we'll have to go back and get a type to bring this picture out to you this morning as children. And I want you to notice closely. I believe in piety, especially to people that's easier for them to understand, to illustrate. It's good to teach children, and we're all children. We're just adolescents in God. Who here would like to say, I'm an adult, grown up in God? Oh, we are not. We're just little babies in God. That's right. Now we want to kind of get this to a place where we can see exactly what God is doing. So let's go back now to the Old Testament to get a view of this, and we'll take it by the children of Israel. When they were crossing the Red Sea and come over into the Promised Land, God, by sovereign grace, each night rained down manna out of heaven. And the people were going to eat, take this manna and make it into bread or cakes or something, and would eat this bread, which sustained their life in the journey. And we find out that many times, if they left the manna lay just a little too long on the ground, it would melt, run away, just like frost or something on the ground. It didn't hold. Now, we see that same thing is happening in Christianity. Many people, before 9 o'clock, get hungry. You have a lot of campground. What would I say? Campground farmers. Many people go to the service and rejoice and shout and praise the Lord while the Spirit of God is falling. All condemnation left their heart. And as soon as a day or two after the revival, they find themselves back in that old grind again. Yet they're eating now. Many people come to Christ which has never been able in the Pentecostal world to make the Pentecostal people see this fundamental truth. It's so hard. They call each church has its doctrine, and they hear their pastor daily and evangelist speak something. They say, oh, well, I got it. That what difference does it make? But they fail to get this truth. Now, I've often spoken and do yet and believe this great faith or fundamental truth that Jesus Christ said, he that heareth my word. him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Is this? He, the hearer of my words. Oh, I wish I could take it into every heart. St. John 5:24. He that heareth my word and believeth.
Amen.
On him that sent me hath eternal, everlasting life, and shall never come into judgment, but already passed from death unto life. That's his word. What do you have to do? Believe. Hear. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word and believing. And applying. And resting. You see it? The word says so. Hear it. Your heart says so. Believe it. And your whole being resting. It's finished. Faith cometh by hearing. Jesus said the word. He that heareth my word, believeth on him that sent me, hath eternal, never ending, always existing life. Isn't it marvelous? Ever existing life that shall never perish, but hath already passed from death unto life. Has breath, passion, separation onto everlasting presence. Amen. Already when he was an alien from God, you ceased from being an alien, now you are a child. From death unto life. From darkness unto day. From mortal to immortal. From corruption to incorruption. From weary unto joy. From death unto life. And resting. Glory. Upon thus saith the Lord. Not upon feeling. Mental emotion. Theory. Upon some unknown something that somebody has said to you that has no basis. Upon someone saying, when you come join our church, it'll be finished. But upon the word of God, the human soul rests out. God
said so.
That settles it. Makes it real. Now, let's go quickly to the second step. What lifts these people go out on the ground and eat the manna? And then, before night come, many of them got hungry. And people go to the meeting. There's just many people who goes and turns the radio on, hears a good sermon, and rejoices. Many of them go to church and they hear a good sermon and they go home and rejoice. But what is that thing then? That comes in and takes it all away from you, the first little difficult to grind. Really? If you're hearing the word, and your soul is rejoicing in the word, the Holy Spirit that you're eating, they ought to believe that you believe unto everlasting life. I believe that the new acceptance of the Lord Jesus gives you everlasting eternal life, when you believe it. Then I believe by one Spirit, then you are baptized into the body of believers. We're going to get to it in a few minutes of God willing. You believe unto life. He Paul said, passing through the upper coast of Ephesus, signing certain disciples, he said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you have believed? See, your faith anchors you in Christ. That's intellectual. You believe it, you accept it, you say that it's right, you recognize it to be the truth, and you're a Christian. And you've got everlasting life by believing it. You've entered
same man.
People who are sinners, who does not accept the Lord Jesus, can still enjoy the seeing the moving of the miracle of God healing the sick, can rejoice if people are doing right, can open their hearts and rejoice in a sermon that's preached under the anointing. And that's the same type of manna that the Christian is eating. You see it? Then, you always remember not doctrine, you're the tabernacle, you have to follow God and please because He's perfected it. Now we wonder why. Then we find out that this manna would vanish. It would come on the ground, then vanish. Then come again, and then vanish every day. Some of it was 9 o'clock, then it was gone. I've met people who stand in the church and just rejoice. And see them go outside the church. And maybe Monday or Tuesday one, just living on behaving, becoming to a Christian. And a man or woman, whoever it may be, will turn again and shake your hand and say, I don't want to do those things. You feel sorry for them. You see people accept divine healing. And say, oh yes, I see it, it's in the Word. Oh, thank you, Lord, I believe it. And they'll go all right for a few days, and the personal storm strikes. That can go again. You've noticed it, and it's true. And the people can't help it. So what's it all about? What causes these things to happen? Now, let's notice. Now we notice that this man, when it fell, God sending it down to provide life for the children of Israel in their journey. Then God told Moses and Aaron to go make a great golden pot and to fill it full of man and to put it in the holy place or the holy of holy places by the ark. This manna was to be set by the ark. And there, it never failed. It never got old. It never lost its sweetness. It was always good inside there. Did you ever see a person that's been in there and is tasting and living on this manna? You've been meeting on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. Cloudy day, bright day, gloomy day, things going right, wrong. He's always sweet, always full of love. Never to talk or do anything wrong. He's living under the glory of God. He never gets hungry. He never has to go to church to get built up. He's just always full of God. People go to church and they'll shake their hand in church and laugh and call you a brother outside of the church. It's full of business people. That wouldn't be just exactly straight. For personal gain. I don't say there's people who are here in the tabernacle, but I say there is. There's things that people would do. And they get different. A least little thing will bring that old kipper back again. That's selfishness. Open up an ear to hear God. Or do something of that kind. That person has never entered into the pot in here. They're outside, they're truly eating the same kind of manna. They've been brought into the camp. That's where in the camp of the field is where the people got the manna. And they're in there. And that manna that they eat is the same manna this man eats here. They both have the same pastor. They both read the same Bible. But one constantly stays true and humble, and the other's got his ups and downs, and going like this, in and out. Both of them eat the same manna, but one has entered in and the other is still out. Both of them are believers under eternal life. But one is baptized with the Holy Spirit in the kingdom of God, and the other is outside eating the same man. And the people have been telling us that you have to shout to get in here, you have to speak with tongues to get in here, you have to do all these things. But we find out that those things don't work. When these people shout, that wasn't, I don't hardly think, I have no way of judging, I shouldn't. I see people shouting that live any kind of a life. I see people dancing the spirit up and down the hall and come back out and living horrible. I see both men and women do that. I see men and women dancing the spirit and speak with tongues and shout that had a temper like I don't know what. There's something wrong. And yet they enjoy the blessings of God. They believe in it. They have faith in it. But it's only in this outer court that never has come to the inner court. They've never got from here down here. That's what's the matter with the churches today. I hope you see it. Oh, my! When I can see a preview of it, that makes me rejoice. That our anchor holds us in the day. The Bible said, he that overcometh will I give a white stone and a new name that no one knows but he himself. Well, they can hear what people say. You know yourself when you've been brought into the inner veil. No one could tell you any difference. Not because you join church, because you did this or that, but something just tells you. You got a stone that's in the heart. Not a hard stone, a soft one. This stone makes your heart soft instead of hard. In Ezekiel, in the old times, when the laws were put into the tabernacle in the ark, the laws of God, Ezekiel spoke of another time. Now the people, there's two classes of people today, them same classes, that's trying to do something to save themselves. Each one says, I'll go to church every Sunday. That's very good. I want to be religious. That's very good. That's still under the law. But when the other, by going to church and being good, is not something that you do yourself, it's something in you doing it for you. The Holy Spirit in your heart. Now notice, we live in this court. These people that live inside here seem to have always fed up, always feeling good. Ezekiel says, I will write my laws anew and put it in their heart. Where the law used to be on stones in the ark, and the ark represents the heart, then I will put my new law in their hearts, in the ark. The heart is the abode of God. And in the Old Testament, God dwelled in his glory over the ark. The heart is the ark. God dwells not in the head, but in the heart. God's not knowing my theology. God's not knowing my mental conception. God's knowing my old practice. I've born again experience. That's in the human heart. Yet men may live a good life and love God by mental conception. But the real hiding place is in the heart. He's with Christ. And when Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes into your heart, he is in you with your temperament, and he's living his own life to his own will through you. Hallelujah!
You want to sound possible, but it's right.
Christ so yielded to your heart that Christ speaks the kind of words he speaks. He thinks the kind of thoughts he would think through you. He does the kind of words he would do through you.
You are yielded and resting. What a beautiful picture we're consecrating this day. Yielded. Christ working in you. Paul said to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Not me to live anymore, but Christ that liveth in me. Christ living in the individual soul surrendered. Christ speaks through the lips and thinks through the mind, sees through the eye, acts through the temperament. When the things of the world have passed away, how can it be the name of sweet and pleasant all the time?
Oh,
Christ has got control.
Oh.
Amen.
Oh.
Yes, yes. That's what it is. It's Christ in you. Christ in you. You say, well, you see, you say, I believe that to be the truth, though. That's right. It's the other that has to come here. It is in your whole makeup. It's Christ. Your attitude, your desire, your appetite, your everything is Christ. Yielded. Resting. Everything perfect. No matter how dull it is, or how black it looks, it is the same. Christ is in you. He speaks to the sinner in the voice that he would speak to him. He speaks to the prostitute in the voice that he would speak to him. He speaks to your mind the very thoughts that he speaks to your heart the very way that he would if he was your owner. And you are no more your own, but your surrender. Into this holy place, Aaron went. Once a year. The congregation watched him. He was dressed right. He had to be anointed right. He had to walk right. Let the key of the law, Pastor. Rest right. Walk right. Anointed right. Yes, there is a pomegranate on his garment. And as he walks this way, holy, holy, holy unto the law. He takes it before him. Or charge your blood. The blood of the Lamb. He's the blood of the atonement. But he was anointed with the rose of Sharon. And the anointing wore off his beard, clung to the hems of his shirt, and he was walking into the inner courts in the presence of God. And when he went behind there, the veil fell behind him. And he was shut out. He was hid from the outer world. And he speaks of God. That is the hiding place. We can walk in the presence of God and be hid from the pains of this world. You don't hear it anymore. It's soundproof. Hallelujah. Soundproof.
World on the outside gasping and looking. But you're on the inside.
In the presence of the eternal everlasting God. Even from this man. That will last for thousands of years, hundreds of years. It's never contaminated, neither did it get out. And a man that won't walk into Christ, and the veil drops behind him, shutting off the kingdom of the world, is in the presence of God, healing the man. No wonder 12 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 8 o'clock. He's living in the presence of the King.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Go on to everyday time for him. See what, where he's at. He's found the secret place. He's went behind the veil. The doors are closed behind him. He don't see none of the doors. Them doors are made soundproof by sheepskin and goatskin. And this is made soundproof by the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The highest man in Christ never becomes a new creature. He walks daily before him in this manner. What a beautiful picture of the believer in the presence of God. All things are his then. All things was given to Christ. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was poured into the church. That's a bother me and I do. All the privilege that the believer has. Today I always say, step it. Say, Brother Brandon, you've got a picture here under consideration. But how do you get to that? That's the next thing. How do we get into that, Brother Brandon? Here's the way they come from the pattern. Oh, I'm a Christian, Brother Brandon. I've been saved. I've been baptized. I enjoy the blessings of God. You're in that other course, but today, I have my ups and downs, my worries, my costs, my troubles. I wish I could live a victorious life. But you've got to get out of the course. You've got to come in. Now, what was the first thing? The course represented justification. Outside there was where the people come in. All Israel, no other, but a circumcised Israelite could come into those courts in the Bible. Do you remember when Paul brought Timothy to the temple and said, excluded this holy place for bringing the Gentile in? In the court, they must be absolutely justified people, regenerated, men and women who have accepted God without eternal life dwelling in them. They must do that to be in the court. Then they come to the first altar. And the first altar is where they burnt the sacrifice, and where the Lord met them there in forgiveness of sin and cleansed them from all their unrighteousness. And the burning all of the grace and all their works, the beasts and the blood from the beast. That was the second course. And now as they lift that second course, sanctification, they entered into this consecrated life. Entered into the presence of God. And while they were in there, there's where they had all these glorious things. There was very beautiful type that in there anything dead come in and lived again. Did you ever think of that? They took Aaron's rod and laid Aaron's rod in the presence of this holy place. And when they did, in one night time, one night time, they took in the presence of God, this old dead rock, laying there in the presence of God. Let it blossom and yield it all in one night. What was it then? What kind of rock was it? It was an elm tree rock. That's where you're taking it from. The stick was off of an elm tree. And you are a stick sometimes. And you were taken off the place of humanity, which was God's created Son in the beginning. You may be fallen, dead, alienated from God, but by that in creation you were created to be a son of God.
Amen.
You may bounce around and be respected and honored out here in the courts, but if you ever get into that glorious place and hit away with God, you yield what you're supposed to do. Make a dead sinner, alienated from God, without hope, without Christ, and put him in the presence of God and the great glorious tabernacle in there, he will yield forth fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. The dead rod budded. For it budded, it had to have refreshing. Had to be refreshed. Then as it was refreshed, it had to have for an odor, a perfume, the blossom. Then the next thing it's all for was fruit. And every Christian comes the same way when he comes into the presence of God. First, he has to be refreshed. The Holy Spirit has to take a hold of the man and renew him and make him another person. The Holy Ghost comes in. Just an impression. The Holy Ghost comes in the quiet of the hour. You know, you go out of the morning real early when the dew is on the ground. The dew falls just before daylight, usually. Sometime in the night, as the hustle and bustle of the world is gone today, after everything's asleep, you ever go out early in the morning, and you go out early and see how everything's so fresh, just real fresh early in the morning. Why? The old earth has drifted away for a while, and it's refreshed. And if you ever come in the presence of a man or a woman who had hid themselves away from the world, it's refreshing to talk to them. They refresh themselves. They begin to come to life. If you ever go into the old garden early in the morning,
working down the highways here real early when the dew is on the ground and all that odor of the honeysuckles and so forth all over the blossoms. Never is it like a Christian who's hidden step away with God in the stillness of the night or somewhere and come forth the next day with a fresh, an odorous life, a pleasant place to be. Somebody you like to talk to, somebody that can encourage you, somebody you got confidence in. Your neighbor over there, how you love to talk with her. See? That's the freshest, the oldest, and the next thing it yields fruit. And everywhere the Holy Spirit comes, it always plants the seed of God and yields fruit. Another great thing of entering into this place is a place where you can have confidence. You can believe. Here's a woman laying here stretched on a stretcher this morning. In a serious condition. Well, if God doesn't touch her, she'll die. She's aged as an old mother. Gray hair. Wearing glasses, very dolly looking person. Go ahead and talk to her a few words. A few moments ago. Want to come in? Now she's laying with me. Perhaps her doctors are already looking out for me. But it is beautiful. If she's fallen in the ankle and ribs and so forth, and a complication of things she's wondering what's wrong with her, the things that she's doing wrong also. But there's your end. And that kind of a state. Well, if you're in that kind of a condition, and going like that, now what you will do for her? Is to bring them the blessed presence of the all-sufficient, refreshing, holy God. But you just to stay away from her. As the doctor, Lord, could it need to be? Try to tell her that maybe there's nothing more I can do. But we lift her into this place.
Amen.
Well, you're old in the days of that trip. That didn't mean one thing to Abraham when you come into the presence of God. And a hundred years old, he pleased God. And considering on his own dying how dead. But he was in the presence of Jehovah.
Who promised
that? Was it the lady only with the city dying of the cancer? Sure, there was nothing else left but to die. If it was only just her. Nobody would love Aaron. And loved him. Because he wasn't dying in. Because it was told to him by Jehovah, he had the right to go in. When Jesus got to Calvary, he ripped the veil from top to bottom. To bring not only high priest, but to every one that comes approaching God. Right into the Holy
Spirit.
He had the right. Well, you hear that in heaven last. Just as Mrs. Weaver somewhere sitting over here, dying with cancer a few years ago. Yes, in the arm. She had a right. She had a right to come in behind the veil. And I had a hold of some ladies who were tied together, I'll baptize your water right here. She lives today because she had a right. She accepted it. Believe it. And I think some women are in the back. I see Mr. Martin. Where's Mrs. Martin standing there? What's that right here on the seat? Holding her up? Down with cancer? What hope, sorrows? But faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Lord. And rather out of stale condition. Well, her husband told me he was sitting right now in his bed, off from the doctor. Then he started changing the wrapped around his chest and flew like a retreat roots. All hopes are gone. But the Holy Ghost, power into the presence, to the refreshing, and go behind the veil, not the curtain behind you, the veil, like the doctor said. And to restore where the golden power of God is a body strike on the earth. And she's already eaten it. The next morning it was still there to eat.
when that stain was still there.
That's right.
Not the way to wait for the falls and end of this revival was the everlasting eternal saying her ways.
It's the still eating for the same God. Oh, man.
What was it? Getting her into the recession.
Yet the thing was that for her, so she won't listen to what the world says,
or listen to what God says.
Amen.
Learning by the blood. Learning by the anointing. One man that walk right, live right. I want you to hear that. When coming into this church,
when I say when a man does this, that, and every how you're baptized, or what church is where, or what church you belong to, God by fire and grace gives the Holy Ghost and He desires you.
Amen.
That's why these people, they're all crumbled before God. God by grace gives them the Holy Spirit, that you will be where they live. They're consecrated. They love the Lord. They believe in their living everywhere, every day in His presence. No matter what comes or goes, where the river runs, or where the clouds are hanging, or no matter what it is, you're still living in the presence of the King. What is it? Well, you know, as the healer, it's just to make believe. The veil's dropped, they don't even hear it.
Amen.
They're in there, they're coming to life.
Amen.
Moving back. Come to the line, you'll see all the horrible shame about them. Their conversations are seasoned with salt. Not talking about your neighbor or trying to fuss about something that's done this way or that way, but their conversation with Christ and His glory. That's where we're raised. Real precious. Real orders. All the new eyes that blossom and bring forth fruit every day. Others say, you know, I know she was healed. I know he was healed. Well, why can't I be healed? Certainly you can better. All right, you get the anointing of the Holy Spirit. What are you going to do? Take God at His word. By faith are you saved, and that's through grace and not by words. No emotions, no strength, no speaking with tongues, no shouting, no nothing. By faith, what is the presence of grace? How come so many universes of your word? And I believe that. You say, Brother Brandon, should you leave a shout and speak and come? Yes, sir! But you're putting the cart before the horse! Come to Christ first. Come to Christ first. Let the Holy Spirit just take you over. Start eating from him and I. That's good today, it's good tomorrow, it's good all the time. Every day. I want you to notice another thing about this. The peculiar of the life of believer Rossing. Praise in Christ. Peculiarity of it. Now the three courts. The justified man, I hear, we walk by the light. Someday you have human days. You get it? God bless you. Someday you're moving. Someday you're on the way to the Lord. You're walking in the outer courts. Sure you ain't now. Sure you are a believer. Sure you have eternal life. Sure if you die, you go to heaven. Sure! Well, I'm trying to live every day, old guy. Who had not been there for the day I told him about it, and I tested him out. I said, I've been brought up in the cure. He will. Whether he will. You're a child. Well, what kind of life are you with? Why? What's the name of that kind of life? Well, I've been down the shrine for a day and night. Backslidden back to church, backslidden back to church. Yes, sir. As far as I see us over there, this other fellow was moving out. Nothing. See, what kind of life you walking in? I called into the wind. We feel the light outside. The gloomy, the foggy, the half rain, and the bright day, and the gloomy, the foggy, and the cloud over the sun. That's what we're into it. We feel ready to justify man with. That's why I saw the light has to walk in. We were just walking by that. We thought I'd come to Christ over there, and I joined the church, I put my name over here. I'm told you're the best I can. Well, bless your heart, brother. I appreciate that. God, appreciate grace. If you believe me, to hear my words, you believe only within me has everlasting life. I know my brother. I love him. Oh, my brother, bless him. Oh, no, I'm a miserable person. I have to fight over here. Well, yes, there's where you're walking. That's all right. Then you say, well, I want to go to the Uber. Well, it comes into the port. Now, watch me there. There's seven golden candlesticks. Well, that's purity. And it's given life.
Amen.
The candlesticks are given life. That's to the man who quits his drinking, quits his smoking,
quit lying, quit stealing, quit the devil, right, butchering his wife, or hurting your husband the same way, man and woman, the believer, who's come into a place where he's quit all of his meanness, which is through the blood of sanctification. He's called you a new life. And he walks in there. You don't have to walk the light all that. He's got a door. He's walking by the light of 7 burning candle sticks, which is burning olive oil. And the olive oil are representing the Holy Spirit, the power of the baptism. This one baptizes you, and even baptized out of there with the Holy Spirit. But you're not hid away yet. You're not behind the veil. There he is. He's walking in these 7 burning candle sticks. There's men alive, much lighter than them. But there's days when the light sticks down. There's days when they rain smoke. And the light's not so good. There's times when them lights have to be relit again. And you have to borrow help from the neighbor to light one candle to the other one. You're still not a good light. We're thankful for it, but it's still not the right light. Ooh, brother, it's still not the right light. He said, but I have spoken tongues, I've shouted, still it's wonderful. Well, let me tell you something different. All right, he's walking in the sight. It's an artificial light. It's not the light of the sun, the light of the moon, the stars. The man who adjusted by courts, when night comes, he has a very dim light. Just the stars, maybe a pale moon, or a flying cloud, he's an awful bit. But the man of your daughters that takes himself under consecration and says, Lord, I'm going to live right by you. I'm the deacon in the church or something there. I'm going to live good to my neighbor. I'm going to try my best to do better, Lord. Well, he's living a bit on it. His light's seldom going out. But they do smoke up. And they have to light one from the other. But the man who walks beyond that and goes in when the world is shut off. When the veil got down, down under the locking of the wings of the cherubim, the great Shekinah glory, come under there. It never got dim, it never went out. And the man who lives in the presence of God, under the veil, lives in the Shekinah glory. I don't care if the stars are raging, or the clouds of the moon don't shine, or the stars don't shine, or the candlestick goes out, that doesn't matter. He's living in the Shekinah glory of God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. I just go out at night, even about the time of mystic light, time of small, glowing light. And the believer at rest walks around inside the veil. The Shekinah glory, what part of man was when he didn't never get out, eat from the man. Oh, he had no way in the world. Everything was taken care of. God was over him. Listen to his prayers, man, to his prayers. Not only that, but he's living right in the presence of the King. God in the Shekinah glory. Every time anything was brought up like that, he couldn't get to him. He wouldn't listen to it. He couldn't. The lines of the world was on the outside. If you ever come into Christ, my friend, ever into a place where the world is where your children are this, where your mother is this, where your daddy said this, where your pastor said that, where the doctor said this or that, you don't even do it. You live only in the Shekinah glory, walking and living in the presence of the King. Every day is sweet, your soul. Oh, all is well, there's nothing to harm you. Oh, what a great. Oh, I think of that little song out across the wind veil, hallelujah to his name. I'm living in the presence of the King. Living across the wind veil, where the glories never fail. I'm living in the presence of the King. I'm walking in the light, the beautiful light. From where the two drops of mercy are bright, shine all around the spot day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Let him hide himself and let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. Let all self be crucified. Let my neighbor gossip with the disquiet of the other be gone. I go to church for one thing, that's to stay in your presence. I moved in there, Lord. I never desire to leave again. I'll trust your word, what you say. That's where I want to be. Drop the veils around me. Lord, I only see Jesus, Lord, and let him walk in front of him. There you are.
on Mount Transfiguration, when Jesus stood transfigured before the apostles, when they looked at this thing, just Jesus alone. They said it's been Jesus only standing there. Only God, I am in that place. Yeah. I am nowhere in that place. For out of Daniel's of God, and I'll see nothing but Jesus himself. Oh, is there a fantastic for the world out there? Worry about atomic bombs, worry about jet planes, whether you should lay the center of the universe. It doesn't matter. The thing that is of walking and living with Christ daily, he has died himself, and the veils of God drowned. Where I am and he is, he in me. Let the strong waves my anchor hold within the veil. He'll tell you why. We have all the storms on the seas in this day, but I'm thankful for an anchor that holds steadfast within the veil. Which is a rocket, just like every move with air to the bottom. Yet my anchor is in the veil. My anchor is in the veil. My anchor is in Jesus. The storms of life are waiting. I've anchored in Jesus, my fear will win your lane. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. God, help us this morning to enter into that inner life. Which day I hear we are tossed about by every wind of doctrine. Every little thing comes along. Don't you know the Bible says in the last days that how man will come and be like angels of light in the last days? How they will take their stand from the devil, ministers are angels of light. Don't you realize that angels are seeking new light when the devil talks to and calls every graveyard to be out there, calls every insane institution, calls every kennel farm, calls every death, every sorrow, every sound and baby, every dying mother. She was searching for something new. She was looking for something she could define new. Oh, God, take me back to the Shekinah glory. Take me into the veil with you. Lord, let me lose my stuff inside of you. Get into the inner veil where all these towels in the world. The Bible said in the last days there come a time upon the earth. Not for bread and water alone, but for hearing the true word of God. And people are going to eat the rest of everywhere. Kind of time.
Yes,
that's what we're here. Where are we sure? When men are putting themselves up like gods and wanting to be growing God. But we were there, old doctors, going through big school and go. Oh, Paul said, I have one fear that except you try to worship me, it's still the same thing I've ever come to you. With his hand in words of man's wisdom, but in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that your hope can be no matter. The day is a horrible day. The people are scattered abroad. I first used to go where there was a big generation not letting God forgive. Where man said he could cast out evil spirits. But I have no doubt of that. But evil spirits are not cast out but cruel and indifferent living. The most powerful weapon there is in the world is love. A stiff out little lady going out with a husband six to leave her. Marry another woman. Very fine young couple. And I looked at her. She said, oh, I'm going to leave you, brother. I said, don't do it, sister. Well, she said, oh, my husband, his ministry is going to be ruined. What can I do? I'm going to New York. I'm looking at me, God. I said, don't do it. Don't do it, sister. What can I do, brother? I said, go up to him. So I found the lady's picture and I broke it up and I done told her. So I did that. I did that. But I said, go to him and put your arms around him. Yes, we don't know what you're doing. I still love you. That'll do it. The young fellow coming in not long ago, he was a Pentecostal. He's been to many of these meetings. And he goes in, his wife is a staunch Lutheran. She said, well, I guess you already unshouted last night. Well, I guess you're all speaking tongues and doing all this last night. He got on board and said, Bob, I cast the devil out of her. I cast the devil out of her. Oh, what's the divorce case? Man, fine man. He comes to me and he said, Brother Branham, we're going to have a divorce, I guess. Well, I just think that devil would move out of her. And I said, brother, you're going to have the wrong way. And I said, when she starts like that, I said, all right, dear. Bless your heart, honey. You're real kind to her. You see how much you can do for her. I said, Brother Branham, well, how will I ever get the devil out? I said, you do as I say, you keep bringing your heart. Yeah. As a guy takes the rest of it, he called me up about 2 or 3 weeks later and said, my own revolution, I
He said, my wife is a different person. I know what you're going to sign up with screaming and kicking and bombing or taking all the bread and butter. God is wrong. That's so out of the world.
Ever since my day, my father was my growing room supply. We've been in wild has been my thing and shall be done. The man calling said, this woman's got three devils. The one is named Jeff, and the other is named Death, and it's called anything. And there's intelligent people sitting there supporting that meeting. Well, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. The woman's green, the other's blue, and the other's pink. Oh, Lord God! Oh, God! It's not wrong! What about the heaven, God? Those people that were struggling so hard to try to get to the kingdom of God, and they're blocked by the hundreds to listen to this formula. You know why? They've never been inside the veil. That's one sure thing. If they ever been in there, they'd no different than that my sheep, no my voice. A stranger than my voice. Yes, sir. You might go all kinds of motions and carry on your way and call in the name of religion, but he either do the same thing. But give me a consecrated life that's dead and rose again in Christ Jesus, who lives in the Shekinah glory of the love of God in heaven. That's the person I would believe is going to be there. What we believe the veil. Under the blood of the Lord Jesus, take all your gifts that you have in the scripture. The devil can impersonate every one of them. But he can't impersonate love, because love is genuine. The devil can't love. That's one thing he can't do. When we get to a place that you love one another and all the world is dead, if you love God, I want to do a woman the other day, then it's just falling out like everything. She's going to almost give you a witness. I was sitting with another man. And she said, you start across this place and I'll call the sheriff. I said, we're Christians, we would be. She said, Christians, there ain't no such a thing. Real nasty. And she was bawling about prison. I said, but lady, there is. I said, don't you believe in Jesus Christ? She said, well, I'm not believing him without people. I said, you can't believe in him without being these people. You can't do it. Oh, she was there in the beginning of prison. I walked out through the car, out of the car. Well, I said, sister, you know, we want to pass away a little place here. I said, it'll be all right. I said, I wouldn't have done it for anything. I said, I'm working here. And she said, just join you people. You think you can run over us, old folks? I said, no, no, no. I said, that's all right. If you don't want us to do it, I don't know how we'll ever get the car out of here. We'll come in. Your husband will be good. I don't care what he says. You're not doing it. I said, well, we come in here, and I said, go down to that yard now. I said, you see that mud? Well, you'd never get 10 foot off of where we're at now, all that grass and rock there. I said, so that's that community to it. But you call the sheriff, you're there, so I'm calling the sheriff. I said, you have a perfect right. And I'm sorry that I didn't come see you beside your husband. I said, I'm sorry about it. And she was going raising up and going and shaking her fist in my face and everything. I said, oh, we had your parallels on. I said, well, I'm very sorry that I disturbed you. I wouldn't have done it for nothing in the world, but I'm ashamed of myself. I said, your husband said it's all right. And I thought, and I said, she said, you young people think you can run over us, old folks. I said, no doubt, but what's that took place on the neighborhood here many times? But sister, we're Christians. I said, I don't live here. I'm just working here to help some brother out. She said, you're one. You said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm a minister of Israel. She looking at me now. He said, I said, yes. He said, what are you doing here? I said, trying to do a good deed to help somebody out. What's your name? I said, my name is Brown. He said, are you Brother Brown? I said, yes. He said, forgive me. And her lips started quivering. She started crying. She said, I'm a backslidden Baptist. I'm ashamed I acted the way I did. I said, God bless you, sister. Go back to church. Serve the Lord Jesus. Peace. You jumped out there and started tapping at her and telling her you did have a right and so forth. And you want you to have done? Just a few words of love will come down to the heart. Now you let your people inside the veil. That's right. You know those secrets? That's how I conquer wild animals. That's how I conquer diseases. The love of God constrains us to do such a thing. Come in, Maria, won't you today? While we bow our heads for a moment of prayer, the sister of both the piano. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you today
For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Seeing our time moving on now. Will you let every person that's in divine presence now, Father, come into the veil? There's young men and women, elderly men and women, young little children, little adolescents. We pray, Father, that you'll take every one of them into the veil with thee this morning, so hide them in thee, in Christ, until they'll be newborn. The hope of glory, the hope of God will be resting in them. And when the trials of the enemy comes up, it'll be so far away outside the veil they don't even hear it. They'll just only see Jesus living in the Shekinah glory, living in the presence where this halo of night is down in the tabernacle. Let it dwell in every heart, Father. Let it come away from just an intellectual, or from looking at it on a picture, or even see it with the natural eye. May it come into your heart, Lord, and there may it abide. And they live in that presence of God, which yields every day a fruitful and blessed life for the Lord Jesus. Won't you grant it, Father? While we have our heads bound, our sister is recording this on the piano, playing it rather. Terry is a fountain filled with blood. That's the way in. Come to the altar. The way into the Shekinah glory. Don't come in there with these sinners plunged beneath the flood and all their guilty state. But somebody in here just now, that in your heart, you've made a decision this morning to Christ. You said, God, I made up my mind. I'm not going to live this year up and down life no more. I'm coming to you right now. Right on the, upon the basis of the shed blood upon your word. I'm coming right now and I'm accepting it. I'll raise my hand to you, Lord God. I'll do it from this day on. God bless you, sister. That's good. God bless you. Bless you. God bless you, brother. That's good. Now, God bless you, brother. I see you over here. God bless you, sister. Now, he sees you. God bless you, my brother. Today, I'm coming. Lord, I'm tired of living by candlelight. I'm tired of living by starlight and moonlight and sunlight. I want the Shekinah glory, Lord, that don't go down from the darkness, son. God bless you, sister. From this day on, God bless you, little lady. God bless you, sister. God bless you, mother. God bless you, little boy. That's good. From this day, henceforth, Lord God, and everything, I'm coming to you. You won't cast me out. You can't cast me out because you promised you wouldn't. I come now, I accept it right now. I'm going to believe it. God bless you, sister. Shekinah glory, I'm going to live in. When all sweats and things and the trouble comes up and everything tries to move me, make me do this and think this bad and do this bad and say this, I'm just going to stay anchored in the veil and look to the Shekinah glory. And from then on, I'll just live with you. Is there another before we pray? God bless you, ladies. You. God bless you, yes. By the dozen or two hands went up there. All right. Now just say, what would you do? Now we know there's a custom we have of all coming up around the altar and praying. That's good. That was first formed in the Methodist Church in about the 17th century. In the Bible, they never did it. In the Bible, what they had is many as believed were saved. Now I want you to sit right in your seat where you are. I want you to bow your head with me. I want you to pray as I pray. And tell the Lord, say, Lord, now just drop off all the cares of the world. Who's sitting by you? This may be the last time you'll have an opportunity to come into the kingdom of God. And I pray that God will open the doors of mercy to you today. And this will be the time. Now shall we pray while we have our heads bowed. Our Heavenly Father, offering to thee as the seed went out, Lord, across the platform, the Holy Spirit dropped it into some 50 or 60 hearts or more here that raised their hands and said, by this we are now coming to thee. Grant, Father, that the doors of their heart may be flung wide open. Many of them, Father, have already got eternal life. They'll live forever. They have to because you said so. That's the reason we base our thoughts so positive. They have passed you. You said so. Now, Father, we pray that in Jesus' name that you'll bring them into a closer fellowship. They've been tossed about, Satan beating them. They can hear the groans and whines of the devil, always tempting them to do things wrong and to say things wrong and to listen to everything. Father, we pray that the veil drop between man and the world today. that they'll be hid away in Christ. Never no more to roam, stand out there in His glory, every day reading the Bible, praising Him, we tremble quite. Spirit-filled Christians, grant it, Lord. We command them to be now, as we commit them also, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for His glory. Amen. From this day on, you're going to walk in the presence of God, walk right, with the right anointing. What would be the right anointing? According to the Word. Love, peace, joy. That's the anointing. Walk like that, until God just raises up the curtain, takes me in, and steps all the world on the head. Will you do it? Raise your hand. By God's grace, you do it. Thank you. God bless you. Do that, friend. I tell you. There'll be every emotion, or every gift, or anything else that you can keep. If you'll just find Christ that way in your heart. That's what's helped me. I laid my daddy on the room. See his hair drop down and looked at me. Looked at me, gone. I see my brother here struggling, the veins touching his neck, broken, the blood pouring from his mouth. I looked at my wife and she said, I missed you just across the border a little bit. I laid my hand on my baby the next day. These little legs dripping. I said, bless your little heart, Sharon. Daddy, I'll meet you on the other side. My anchor held. Okay? Yeah, it's not based upon emotion. Not nothing I felt. It's what God said about it. I believe it. It's all these 23 years of my ministry now. It holds up his tight today, it's not tight. He gradually winds against the cross because it's pulling close to good all the time. God grant each one of you have this experience of living a close, concentrated life. See, listen close now before I close on that. It isn't a blessing that you receive and shout and glorify God. Those things are good. Great, man. That isn't it. That's not what I'm talking about this moment. It isn't whether you raised up and spoke the tongues or whether you shouted on it down the day. That isn't it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that little way on. In Christ. For all the time, day and night, you just live in you. That's what I'm talking about. Now, each year, I wish I was a healer this morning. If I was, I'd heal sick people. I can't heal sick people. I'm just a man. But the healer himself is here, the Lord Jesus. Now, if I, the Bible said the effectual servant there of a righteous man of their flesh, the effectual servant there of a righteous man of their flesh. See, Elijah was a man subject to high passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. Then he went and prayed earnestly again and the heavens gave rain. Prayer changes things. I can change it. You can change it. It's prayer that changes it. God told a man one time he's going to die. Set his house in order. Sent a prophet. That's to tell him. And the man turned his face to wall and began to cry and asked God for 15 years longer to live. And God changed the course. Give him 15 years longer. What is it?
Hey,
prayer. Now we're changing the subject. Just for a few minutes. I don't get to be with you. I'm hoping to be there next Sunday again. I wrote it this morning, when I come down, Mike said, are you going, your horse and everything? I said, I promise I'm going anyhow. Mm-hmm. Look, I want to tell you something. I know that prayer isn't to be my first time praying since something was ministered to me. If you understand, God knows it's true. That I ever prayed for sick people. It won't be in a public as it used to be. Well, of course, many church meetings it will be like this, but I mean in another category that we go in now. But this I do know. I have confidence. I've watched all along. Now, if I would like to trade places today with some man who preached the gospel, if it would be the will of God, for me to be a preacher. I'm not much of a preacher because I'm not educated and I don't know too much of the word or anything. So I can't preach. But my work is to pray for sick people. And I notice in the services, in different places, just what prayer does, what an effect it has. I'm going to take Christian Life, the magazine Christian Life. Did you notice that astounding article in there by that medical doctor in Chicago, or I believe it's Whitney, Illinois? They asked him, they said, do you believe in divine healing? Is there such a thing? He said, now you've asked me a question. Divine healing, what do you mean, miracles or healing? He said, healing, certainly. You pray for the sick, and said, the sick gets well. Then there's a miracle, and it vanishes right before you. Said, either of those. Said, I certainly believe in that. But said, now these bloodless coughs, such as your hearings and signs and things like that, said, I don't go for that. But the blood of Jesus Christ will heal anybody. And that was the medical doctor. And they know that. And then God set some in the church to pray for the sick. God set some in the church to teach. Some to be different things. Is that right? He does that. And through that, he gives different gifts sometimes to people. That don't have nothing to do with it. The only thing was your soul salvation. But in this knowing that he called me to pray for the sick people, I just want to for your confidence, and God knows in my heart, and I mean not personally. Now I want to just show you something. Look around across the country right now. Just draw a mental picture in your mind if you can. Just look what happened here the other day. You all heard about that old possum down in the jungle down there. Come out there, chewed up with a dog or something, all broke up. And why would Jehovah God, this puppet don't even have a soul, an ignorant possum, and bring that possum and lay it right at my door? And he's so dumb that I didn't know it. He laid there 24 hours. I was sitting in my room. He said, like a lady, she's laid 24 hours. She's asleep or waiting for her turn. And you haven't done it yet. Little Rebecca, that was in the river's back. Now, look, I said, Heavenly Father, you forgive me. I didn't know that. Then I say, you heal this possum. That's all I said. You know, possum raised up and looked at me, gathered up her baby. You just to say, thank you, sir, without even a wink. Well, I don't have to take you down the road. Okay? If you're a possum, tell me. God, let me, don't you believe it? How do you leave bars and things up across the country of the hundreds? The dreams and visions and God's all this. And that makes me know this. And he met me there when he stood by my side. He said, you were born in this world to pray for sick people. That your ministry starting over with the world around you. And it has. But the youth has been women around the world with me around. I couldn't take it, could you? But I started by God's grace. It's blown around the world, this great revival. I said the other night, well, it's finished now, the other night, a few months ago, there was a bunch of ministers gathered together, these women campaigns. Each one was the self-written experience, they didn't even rise around. I said back in this great stadium, my coat pulled up like this. My hair pinched on my head, those pale, dark glasses on. Let's say that. Listen, one of them walked up the platform and said, well, my ministry is about gone. I don't know what to do. They said, a little woman, come on, go around. I started me. One of them walked up and said, well, his brother can't define it before he has a knee, but I pastor the Lord's church and I went home tonight. I said, I started. I sat there crying, This guy walked out of the building, I couldn't stand it anymore. He said, this stuff of God is just exactly what you said to take place. It's exactly. Well, here I am this morning, friend. I'm very poor servant of the Lord. I fail in so many ways that I'm ashamed of myself. I feel unworthy to even minister to his dear sick children. But I don't look to my worthiness because I have none. I look to what his grace is. It's what he is to me and what I am to him. I am his child. He's my Lord. If I am, they're not to him, but he is all right. I don't minister with mine. I only try to yield myself to him that he can minister through. I'm very glad that I've lived in this veil. Well, the things of the world. When he said, you can't do it. Well, you're crazy. Something went wrong with preacher Random up there. Look at him. Why, he's gone crazy. When I had that ministerial meeting over at the Jewish hospital, that group of men sat there, and how they tried to tell me, I said, well, you're losing your mind. Well, you can't do that. You pay for change. I said, that's what he said. Listen to what he said. It's good at anyhow. God did it. He never looked at my ignorance. My ignorance could have never produced it. But it wasn't my ignorance. It was his grace. By him, that grace alone, I trust this morning as I go pray for this dying woman and forever. Come on, you're God's servant too. The prayer, the affectional, fervent prayer. The congregation praying. You lazy woman laying on the stretcher here this morning. There's others sitting here in a dying condition. There's the quality against the serpent. That's not even questioned to the world anymore after 10 years. You could come to this platform and you could hide your life if you had to in the presence of God. He'd tell you exactly what you love and what you do. I said, you know that. It's the beauty. But that isn't a healing. That's a healing. It's a prayer of faith that saves us. It's prayer that saves us. Certainly. And that's what we want to do, is pray for the sick. Now, I want to treat you well. Well, they call this with my mother laying here. What if somebody's a mother is here? What if there's my wife sitting back there, somebody else is sick? I'll be sincere, I'll pray. There's a woman walking around in the village, borrowing on a stretcher like this woman is borrowing, dying with a cancer. Like I used to see Jeffersonville when the woman was down there at the high school, dying with a cancer, and there she has never been bothered since. Went on that well. Isn't it marvelous? Now, I want you to pray, sister, with your position, now and here, to sympathize with Jesus. I want everybody that's going to stay for the meeting now to quiet down just a minute. Let's pray. Now, I'll call a prayer line just a moment. First, I think I'll go down and pray for this woman on the top so he has room. Want everybody to keep your hands down. I want everybody to pray sincerely. I got a sister on the cot, dear mother. I'm talking to you now. Want you to have faith in her. Want you to believe with all your heart. Let's all be a friend, reverently, if you will. And I'll call, come back to the platform, make her a pray for a woman, and we'll let the people as they take her out, walk the center to one side, but I want to pray for her first so she can be out of the way. Can we pray our prayer now? Our Heavenly Father, yes, there is a great physician. There's a bomb in Gilead. And laying here on the cot this morning, sitting here in the seat, are your people who are sitting here suffering this dark, cloudy world that we're living in. Oh, eternal God, blessed of the Father, we pray that your mercy will extend to these people today, and every one of them will be healed. Let them enter in now to the manna. You've got the door open this morning for whosoever will, let him come. The middle wall of petition's been tore down where Jew, Gentiles, Greek, bond, and free can enter in at the same gate, the door to the sheepfold. Thou art the door we come to, Jesus, God, to receive these blessings. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. I come to pray for the sick. Will you heal him today, Lord? We thank you for our dear brother Neville, for his gallant work here pastoring the church, for all that he's done, how he stood by the post of duty as a real true servant. God bless him and his wife and his little children. Lord, may these little boys raised up to be men like Dad, grandfather. Oh, God, be near us now. And as I go to minister to the sick with all my heart, I pray you'd be with me, Father, and give me faith. And take all doubt out of my mind, that when every person shall come, may my mind not function to the unbelief, but may my heart push forth faith. Grant it, Lord, that when the faith in my heart moves reasoning back, cast down reason, and have faith, may everyone be healed. Grant it, Lord.
Now, with our heads down, I'll go pray for sister. You all do the same.
Really, but God has touched her body and made her completely whole. Here she is, walking around glorifying God. You don't want to be prayed for, come to the side now while we pray.
I asked him when that lady was laying there, she told me how she fell and her ankle and her ribs and all that like that. I said, God, if you will confirm this to me this morning, I'll perform the same thing that you told me to do when it was sheriff. And you let that woman rise up and walk across the building. And immediately after she was prayed for, she rose, they took the stretcher out, and here's the woman walking around. The Lord Jesus is here, my dear brother and sister. I can't heal you. But you're fixing to see, I believe, one of the greatest revivals that we've ever had. That's right, in the nation. I just know that something is in it making just now. Now, as you pass by, right now, to be prayed for, let everyone in the building be in prayer as a sister place. And Brother Neville and I will be ministering and laying hands on the sick as they pass by this side going to the school. Some people get the wrong impression of what the anointing is. Did you ever think of that? When was the greatest anointing ever given to anyone, and what did they do when they had the anointing? The greatest anointing that was ever given to anyone was Jesus Christ. We have the Spirit by measure, He has without measure. And one day He entered into the temple and picked up the scroll and read, and said, the Spirit of God is upon me. For He has anointed me to preach the acceptable word, to bind up the broken hearts, to heal the sick, your sight to the blind. And now we would think if such anointing was only to have been prophesied 800 years before that it would come, and here He was with that type of anointing, the full blessing and anointing of the Lord upon Him, we would want to all the building, free in the heart. But the Bible said He laid down the scroll and sat down, and precious words proceeded from His mouth. That's what He done under the anointing. The anointing is not emotion. The anointing is supreme power in control, knowing exactly what is happening. That's what tears. Now, you might not be able to understand it as you walk here. You might not be able to get it, but I challenge your faith to this. You come and believe what I told you and watch what happened.
Amen.
You just believe what's been told to see what happened. The anointing of the Lord is in the temple or tabernacle this morning. Amen. Let us pray as we go. Our Heavenly Father, sister coming to the altar felt led to sing that song just then. You were speaking to her. She kneels, praying, Hannah in the temple. Give her the desire of her heart, dear God. We love you, Father, with your heart. Give her those things that she asked for. As she kneels, broken up, weeping, knowing that it's no secret of what you can do. For your God and all powers in heaven and earth is given in your name. So may you brush away your tears just now. Comfort her with thy nail scarred hand and say, daughter, thy faith saves thee. May she go in peace and be made whatever she desires today. Grant it, Father, for Jesus' sake we ask it. You love the Lord? Isn't He wonderful? And a glorious time here this morning in this fellowship. And you just tell me, friend, just something around you saying, well, I'm with you, don't fear. The little boat can't rock or do no harm. I'm feeling, Mother. Good, that's fine. The lady was on the stretcher said she's feeling good now. Aren't we thankful for that? Our Lord Jesus, He's going to come back and be with us and set the church and rejoice and praise God. Is that right? Now, being next Sunday, we're going to have all kinds of people want to testify about what happened today. Wouldn't you believe that? Now, what do we do? Stay in the glory. Walk in the light. Walk step by step with Him, ever holding to His everlasting hand. Eternal blessings of God resting with you. Knowing this assurance that God will not promise anything that He cannot do. Abraham, when he was old, he didn't care about how old he was. He knew that God was able to do what he said he would do. Isn't that wonderful? Well, now, God doesn't die. God is from everlasting to everlasting. Did you ever think that when your spirit leaves you, if you're in a gas chamber, if you're in the bottom of a well, bottom of the sea, wherever it may be, when your spirit leaves you, water, fire, nothing can hold it, moves right to the belly. And it's like a vapor. It hangs there. It's alive. It can't die. It's got eternal life. It can't perish. Then when you die and your loved ones are weeping, you think you're dead, but you're not. You're still living up here. Your body is faded away. But it's cut down in the ground. All of the atoms and things that you once was broke up and gone back into the cosmic light and petroleum and whatever it was, gone back into here. And someday the great king of these spirits will come. Jesus. Coming from glory in his body. Amen. And he'll turn loose the power of God and every person that's in him. Their bodies and atoms will start going together. The cosmic light will start making up. And in a moment's time, every person that's in Christ will be changed to make a young man and woman again. Standing on the earth.
Amen.
Thank God. Never to get old, never to be sick, never to have a heartache or a weary. What do we got to worry about? We're just walking the light of God, don't we? Isn't he wonderful? Oh, my. Let's simply just sing this little song. Consider it the first, my faithful testimony. I mean, we used to think there are my faithful testimony. Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now remember all, pray, take all my guilt away. Let me from this day be holy.